Well, you know, given the
Terry does.
Given the choice of giving a space heater to you or give one to the lovely Terry, I'm sorry, it really wasn't much of a choice, Frank. I mean, we love you and all, but, I mean, Dan Howes and I have voted. It's just very easy. You don't get the space heater.
Daniel Howes. And welcome back into the Motor City Casino, where the Detroit Regional Chamber is hosting its Economic Policy Conference. And the man who put it all together joins us now, the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber, Sandy Barua. How are you?
Good morning, Frank. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Are you kidding me? I'm thrilled to be invited. I'm honored to be here. And it was kind of you. We're out here in a location where the doors open, you get a little breeze going through once in a while. It was kind of you to send out the space heaters, and you came up and you said, how are the space heaters working? Our friend, the columnist from the Detroit News, is here too. Yeah, women always win.
Yeah, you
know how
that
right. goes.
Yes, I do.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. The buzz in the city is about the mayor's message last night. Very uplifting. He hit all the right notes, didn't he?
Well, it was uplifting, but what was great about it was practical. Is that these are the things that we're actually doing, and they're working. And what he's talking about are things that are like, you know, you kind of slap your hand on your head and say, well, why didn't we think of these things earlier? I mean, these are common sense solutions.
Or do them.
Yeah, exactly.
Or do them. It's a strategy of singles. You know, these aren't home runs. This is get guys on base. Get runs, get things accomplished, show people that you can get stuff done.
Just the little stuff, like, well, 25 parks were open last year. We got 300 parks in the city. Why were only 25 open? Why did we let our city get to the point where only 25 are open? Why did we get to the point where the streetlights aren't on? You know, I mean, how do you get to this point? And he said his question is not how do we get there. His question is why can't we just fix them? It's what we need to do.
Yeah, and you know, the power of what Mike is bringing to the table is it's the power of great leadership. I mean, the right leadership at the right time makes all the difference in the world, and that's what we're seeing here. Now, obviously, it's early days. You know, there's a long way to go, but you know, early returns really, really positive. We're really excited.
Stay where you are, both of you, because there's that issue of getting beyond the obvious, which is the emergency manager and the like, and where we're headed with that. How that plays into your conference today, Sandy, and the conversation in town about that. We'll continue that with Sandy Barua, the man who runs the chamber, Daniel Howes, the man who runs the Detroit News. He wishes. Daniel Howes of the Detroit News joining us, along with Sandy Barua, the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce, which is hosting us here at the Motor City Casino at its Economic Policy Conference today. What an interesting and I'd say even eclectic group of speakers and panels you have going today. Everything from people who have a message of just dream the dream and it can happen, to people who say, hey, be careful what you do downtown because it doesn't necessarily translate into the neighborhoods, to people who say, we're tearing down the blighted neighborhoods. You get a little bit of everything going on.
Frank, thank you. You've described the conference exactly the way we wanted it to. This is not a rah-rah, you know, the sun is always shining, the roses are always blooming conference. This is not a, oh my goodness, let's look in the rearview mirror conference. This is supposed to be a look at this city in a holistic manner. And you know, there's a lot to be positive about, there's a lot to be excited about, but the work in front of us is difficult, it's long, and there isn't just one answer, right? I mean, people have different perspectives. We live in a democracy. The city is a democracy. We need to figure out how we get people engaged at all different kinds of... Daniel's now making fun of me here. But, you know, how do we get people engaged in a whole bunch of different levels to ensure that, you know, the prosperity that we know is coming and can come is shared by more people?
You didn't have the reaction Sandy was looking for there, Daniel. People couldn't see
it. No, it's when you talk about democracy in the city, there's a lot of people that say that democracy is being denied in the city. But I think that's in exchange for that, we're getting some things accomplished. You know, I think one of the things that has to be said about Mayor Duggan in these early days is his best friend ought to be Kevin Orr, because he's got the opportunity to come in as mayor and get some early wins on the operational side of the city, while Kevin Orr is worrying about the bankruptcy, the financial restructuring of the city. And that is an enormous burden, and has been an enormous burden, on mayors going back for decades, having to worry about the reason that they couldn't fix the lights, the reason that they couldn't deal with other things was because they had so much cost sucked into their indebtedness, their legacy costs to their employees and to pensioners. And Kevin Orr is dealing with some of that, and I think in a sense that really frees up the mayor.
You know, the one thing that's been interesting to me to observe is that Mayor Dave Bing complained so much about not being able to have his own people running departments and the like. Kevin Orr has given this new mayor a free hand to hire who he wants in the positions he wants. And it appears on the surface, Sandy, I don't know if you're getting the same feeling, that we're not going to see in Detroit what we saw in Pontiac when the emergency manager left, an administrator was left in charge. I'm already getting the feeling that they're going to take a different approach in Detroit. And once Kevin Orr is done with his 1 year tenure, he's gone. And Mike Duggan, here it is. Good luck to you. Take it away.
Well, I certainly agree with the first part of that, you know, Kevin Orr, he turns into a pumpkin this fall. I mean, I think he's made it clear, the governor's made it clear, his time will end. The question is, what does it look like after he's gone? Are they going to make the mayor the emergency manager or not? Will they remove the emergency manager? But regardless, whatever happens, we're not going to go back quite to normal. We are going to have a financial advisory board that currently exists now. They'll probably beef up the powers and the oversight of that board, which is actually well constituted right now. There's some really great people on that. Let's remember, when New York City went through bankruptcy, they had basically their version of a financial advisory board for, what, Daniel, 30 years? 30 years afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, which went through basically a bankruptcy about a decade and a half after New York City did, still has one.
So do you think there will be an administrator then overseeing the mayor?
Not necessarily, but I think to Sandy's point, that financial advisory board, I think you can bet that will stay around. Now, I think the preference in Lansing and in the governor's office clearly is that by September there is not a new emergency manager here, that if anything, the mayor will be given certain powers. But it's also important to note that under state law, that under the emergency manager law, they can't go back to normal. If an emergency manager gets pulled out, they have to have another, what would probably be a revised consent agreement between the mayor, the council, and the state treasury, saying these are the milestones, these are the additional things that we are going to accomplish over a certain period of time. And I think what they're trying to do is Duggan getting early wins demonstrates his ability to actually deliver on that stuff, because Mayor Bing and the previous city council signed a consent agreement and for most of an 11-month period did virtually nothing. And I think that's what pretty much laid the groundwork for an emergency manager to come in. And this is a totally different scenario.
Sandy, take us behind the scenes in your conversations with the business leaders here in Detroit, the business people. How much does the conversation about the bankruptcy suck the air out of the room and take up the conversation?
No, not at all, Frank. In fact, you know, the business community has been on the same page regarding the bankruptcy really since day one. Actually, before day one. And that is that, first of all, before the bankruptcy, business leaders, and myself included, said, listen, no one loves to go into bankruptcy. It's never a good day when you have to go into bankruptcy. But if this is what we have to do, let's treat it like surgery. Let's get in. Let's get out. Let's take care of the problem. And let's do it sooner rather than later. Now that we're there, you know, it's still the right decision. As long as the city, you know, continues to make progress on addressing its systemic challenges, we're on the right path. The best way to solve Detroit's PR problem that everyone is so concerned about is to solve the darn problem.
Bingo.
Yeah, he's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great opportunity, and I think there's a lot of enthusiasm at a lot of different levels in the business communities, in the community in general. I think people are, I mean, here you have a mayor who's actually got a working relationship with city council and is working at having a working relationship with city council. That's huge.
Yeah. First time in some time we've seen that.
And look at his speech last night. I mean, he went out of his way to share the spotlight with each member of the city council. I mean, he did not stand up there and say, it's all about me. He said it's really about a team. And, you know, regardless if he was, you know, who the city council member was, or if he was with them or not with them during the election, he is working with them together.
He named every one of them, but when he sets up those neighborhood offices in their districts, it may strain things a little bit later on. We'll see.
But this team thing is very important. You know, if you go back and look at the bailouts of the auto companies, and one of the things that led them back has been a strong leader who runs a team. And I think we didn't have that in City Hall. Mike Duggan did that at the DMC, and he's bringing that team-based approach. There is one person who's in charge, but he's bringing that team-based approach to City Hall, and that's a real change.
You know, the best thing for me, fellas, is we're actually talking about progress that's being made in the city rather than asking why can't we do something. You know, instead of complaining about everything, we're actually talking about things that are being done now. And, you know, can this work? How far can it go in making things improve? And to the mayor's point last night that Detroit is on the rebound, I don't think there's any argument, is there?
There's no argument, but you know, one note of caution, and that is that progress is never linear. Mm-hmm. You know, we're never always going to take one step forward, one step forward, one step forward. We are going to take a one step forward and a step back and three steps forward and a step back. It's not going to be linear, and I think, you know, Detroiters, for all the right reasons, are a little shell-shocked, right? They've had a lot of bad news for a very long period of time. When those setbacks occur, we just have to learn to roll with the punches.
How do you like the new police chief?
I like him a lot.
He's a rock star, isn't he?
I like him a lot. In fact, you know, I don't tweet much, but you know, I've noticed an increased presence of police officers in the town when I'm driving around, and you know, that's one of the things I tweeted. You know, handiwork of the new police chief.
How about you, Daniel?
Oh, I think that's exactly right. I agree 100%. I mean, again, this is showing results. I mean, these drug busts. Very aggressive moves, and I think people are going to start to notice that, and that's how you kind of change the conversation about what's going on here.
This guy's, he's a TV show waiting to happen, I'm telling you.
Oh, please, let's not go there.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's a bad subject around here.
That's a bad thing, we don't want to go there. We just want a police chief that executes and gets stuff done. That's what we want. We don't need rock stars.
Well, but he's doing the job is the point.
No,
yeah, but he's doing it in kind of professorial way. I mean, he's not a flashy guy. I mean, we've had flashy police chiefs in this town. He's not one of them.
And that doesn't help. Yeah.
No. But he's a cop's guy. You know, he's a man's man, and you get the feeling. I don't hang around with in cop hangouts, but you get the feeling that the guys on the street, the men who wear the blue, really like
Frank, it. Hey, man, it's management. It's all man. A lot of this is management.
I was going to tell Frank, he can't drive a hybrid to a cop hangout. I mean, come on.
Great to see you. Sandy, thanks for having us here. And on behalf of Terry, thanks for the Space Heater.
Hey, and I'm so sorry it's so darn cold. For the folks on the other end of the radio, Frank's right in front of the door, and it's like 6 degrees outside. Every time somebody comes in.
It would have killed a lesser man by now, Sandy. Daniel, good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right, back in a moment. Right now, traffic. And here's Mark Mitchell.
Jeez, poor Terry Lieb doesn't have an ounce of fat on her whole body, and you want her Space Heater? Jeez, what an ogre.
Whoa. Talent has its privileges, doesn't it?
Terry's not talented?
No.
Where are you going with this?
I'm just getting deeper with this. Why don't you give me the traffic before I get in more trouble?